Well, the reason that we are having Karen Noyce join us this morning is that our good buddy Harry is out in, I want to say Banff, but I think it's Jasper. He's in Jasper. And he's at the White Bark Pine Foundation conference. He and I went out to the White Bark Pine Foundation conference last year in Big Falls, Montana, and we had a great time. Gosh, it was a lot of fun. I was sorry I couldn't join him this year, but he's away.
Okay. But we have a wonderful fill-in for Harry today, and we've been talking about it, making sure we let people know. Facebook has been really enjoying the fact that Karen Noyce is going to be telling us about bears today. You worked with bears for over 33 years, is that right?
I did, Heidi.
Thanks for being here today for the DNR researcher, and you're going to help us kind of understand what's going on with bears out there right now this time of year.
Yes, let me correct you.
Okay.
Past DNR.
Okay.
Retired. DNR. DNR retired.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfectly. Yeah.
John, so, you know what white bark pine, who likes to eat white bark pine?
Yes.
Nuts?
Grizzly yes. bears. In fact, they watch where the Clark's nutcrackers are storing
That's
the
right.
nuts and then go eat them, which yep. is kind of a cruel thing. But yeah, when we were out there last year, we actually saw several grizzly bears, and one and a cub were eating on something along the highway, and we drove by. There were a few cars parked there. We drove past. We thought, I wonder what that is. Came back down that pass and stopped, and here's this sow and her little cub. The cub was probably, I don't know, looked like it could have easily been 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. It was a big animal. It wasn't some little furry ball. It was like, if you met this in the dark, you would be terrified. Anyway, they're eating on something, and a third grizzly bear is maybe 100 yards away, and sort of, you know, gosh, would you have some to share with me? And there was a conversation between the two that said, stay the heck out of our place here, or you will regret it. You walk over here, but you'll limp back. So, yeah, the grizzly bears, we did get a chance to see some. But locally, we don't have any grizzly bears, which is probably a good thing. I mean, they're sort of indiscriminate eaters, and in their quest for fattening up in the fall, they probably would be happy to eat some great fat guy like me. I'd be perfect meal for them. That brings me to the point that this is the time of year when bears are sort of preparing for, and I'm reluctant to use the word hibernation because, as I understand it, bears don't truly, at least they don't meet the definition of hibernation.
Well, it all depends on your definition.
Okay.
We use the term.
Redefine.
Bear biologists use the term hibernation all
okay.
the time.
All right.
The bears don't meet the definition that was developed for animals like rodents that hibernate.
Right.
And when they hibernate, they drop their body temperature very low.
Right.
And unlike that, bears drop their body temperature, but it's more like 10 degrees Fahrenheit, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's...
And so... And not always that far, but enough to make a big difference in their metabolic rate.
Ah, okay.
And what researchers have found out, physiologists have found out about bears, is that they have a lot of adaptations, physiological adaptations, that in some ways make their bear hibernation or ursid hibernation unique and kind of more profound than that of hibernating rodents, in that bears are the only animal that can recycle some of their metabolic wastes. When an animal goes without eating in the summertime, first body fat is used up, and then muscle starts to be used for energy. But before that happens, muscle is always recycling. Even at a very low metabolic rate, your body is breaking down some muscle tissue all the time, and that produces nitrogen because protein has nitrogen in it. Once there is nitrogen waste in the bloodstream, that can build to levels that are toxic. And so something has to be done with that, which is why we pee. Mm-hmm. We get rid of uric acid and urea, which are nitrogen compounds. Well, if bears did that in the wintertime, they would very quickly dehydrate.
Yeah.
And so what happens in bears is that the urea does not build up in the bloodstream. It gets recycled into new amino acids. The bear creates new amino acids that are stored in its body, so it preserves its nitrogen all wintertime. And probably the thought is that that's happening inside the gut, and the gut bacteria are the mechanism for building these new amino acids, and so they're stored probably in the gut until spring when they can be built into new protein.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
So their body temperature drops 10 degrees or so. Mm-hmm. Respiration stays relatively normal?
Oh, respiration drops, heart rate drops, everything drops very low. Although it will cycle through the daytime at different times of day, you know, the heart rate might increase, but then it'll drop to very low levels.
Yeah. Now, I had the sublime pleasure of discovering a bear den one year while I was grouse hunting, and I went back in February, I think, or March, and deep snow, here's this little frost hole where the, you know, escaping heat has melted the snow a little bit, and I thought that I would come across a bear that would be soundly asleep, and I took my cross-country skis off, and I waded through this snow that was maybe thigh deep, and I peered into this hole, and here's a bear looking right back at me. I mean, like 3 feet away, and her eyes are open, and she's staring at me, and I, honest to God, I practically fell over backwards and swam out of the snow to get back to my skis to get away. What was going on there?
Well, that's part of this, you know, phenomenon or whatever you want to call it of ursid hibernation. They probably the reason that there are reasons why they don't drop their body temperature lower, and that is that they do remain do it's advantageous for them to be able to respond to danger if it does come along, especially females who have newborn cubs in the den or are in the den with their yearling cubs from the year before. So we have, you know, visited hundreds of dens.
I was going to say,
over the years.
You have a lot of experience at this. I have one. I have a database of one.
And it's most often, the bear is looking at us when we get to the den.
But you've not been, I mean, you don't show any obvious signs of having been mauled.
No,
so.
No, they aren't interested in mauling anybody. Our motto was to keep one lunge away, one lunge distance between us and the bears.
And how do we measure a lunge? Mine might be greater than yours. Having been face to face, I thought I am way too close. Yeah. I could have looked at this one from 15 feet away.
If you had stayed and watched that bear for a while, probably it would have watched you with its black little shiny eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Then a minute or two, dropped its head back down. But if you moved, it would raise its head and look again. You know,
okay.
They're very groggy. They don't want to be awake.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be causing any trouble. But if you had reached in there, you would have been amazed at how quickly they can move. And there's, especially in the early winter, especially like during deer season, when most bears have gone into their dens by then, but they're not as soundly asleep and they are much more sensitive to disturbance. What we found was about 10% of the radio-collared bears that we studied over the years would get up and move sometime during deer season when there's a lot of activity in the woods.
Okay.
So that's, you know, if you really push a bear in a den, if it can't if it has no avenue of escape, yes, it will lunge at you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's more common if you the thing that's common if they get a little too disturbed is that they'll just wait their chance and then bolt out of the den and run off.
I see. Now, is that hard on a bear to say start to hibernate and then have to get up and relocate?
Well, it certainly doesn't do them any good, but mm-hmm. it's probably in the early winter, it's not too hard on them. Many bears have alternate holes that they've or places
okay.
that they've used other years,
mm-hmm.
But they're not going to be able to, depending on if there's snow on the ground and all of that, they're not going to be able to gather up nice dry nest
yeah.
material and all
that's
that.
That's how I found this den. I'm walking mm-hmm. through the woods and I come across this area and it looks like I'm in the middle of the woods and it looked like somebody raked it and I thought, what the heck happened here? And that's when I discovered yep. the den. Tell me, most of the female bears
mm-hmm.
and those that are either pregnant and going to give birth or those that have yearling cubs prefer a den, but the males, not so much, or
well,
what was your finding?
Let's back up on the females.
Okay.
In our study area, yes, and typically most adult females would prefer to be in a more enclosed space, but they're not all in enclosed spaces by any means. You'll see them anywhere from a really nice, you know, cozy den to an open nest in the bog. And we've seen females raise newborn cubs through the winter in open nests in the bogs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That seems astonishing.
Yep.
How do they stay warm?
Those cubs have good lungs right away. And as soon as they start to get a little bit uncomfortable underneath her, they start to squawk and she'll shift herself and just keep them warm.
Okay. Now, what kind of a... So the bears right now,
mm-hmm.
The ones I saw, have seen, seem to be eating acorns. What's their diet this time of year? And how much food do they need? Because they're storing up fat for the whole mm-hmm. winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are their caloric requirements?
Well, I don't...
A lot.
A lot. What have I heard? Up to 20,000 calories a day or something.
Wow. And how many calories in an acorn? Or what is it that they're eating? What do they eat this time of year?
In Minnesota, acorns, among the wild foods at this time of year, acorns kind of trump everything.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a good acorn crop, they will travel many miles to find a good place to eat.
Wow.
Many of them will. And you'll see gatherings of bears in places, especially where there are bur oak stands. For example, you know, the Mud Goose
mm-hmm.
Wildlife Management
yep.
area. There are old stands of bur oak there. And when that's a good year, bears come from all around
wow.
to Mud Goose.
Wow.
And there are certain hot spots mm-hmm. throughout the countryside. This year, my understanding, I've been gone a good bit of this year and I'm not too in touch with what's going on, but my understanding is that the nuts are much better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty spotty. What I've seen myself is more red oak
yeah.
than bur oak. Red oak feeds a bear just fine, but it's not preferred.
Harry was saying something about red oaks and white oaks a long time ago about one having more tannins in it and being more bitter.
Take a bite.
Yeah. Take a bite, right?
You'll see right away why white oak is preferred. Bur oak is in the white oak family.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. The bur oaks, those seeds only... They don't last very well in the wild. The seeds rot pretty quickly, and that's because they don't have the tannins. The red oak, the seeds persist for a lot longer in the wild.
Okay.
And the tannins are what protect them.
Yeah. So I had a note from our friend Ed down in Deerwood, and Ed said that there was a picture in the Aiken paper this summer of a sow with five cubs. And I showed you that, and you were like, "Oh yeah, that happens." So, how many babies do they have? And
well,
is five the max? Have you seen more than five?
I have never seen more than five. I have heard tell of six, but five. The very first year of our bear study in 1981, we went to a den. All of us were green as can be and had never handled a bear cub before. And we just kept pulling out cub after cub after cub, and there were five cubs.
Oh, my word.
These were a very large, well-fed female who fed at the Sumi dump quite regularly. And 2 years later, she had five cubs again. But then thereafter, she had three cubs.
Uh-huh.
Three is the most common size, litter size. Yeah, for adult females.
Okay.
For first-time mothers can have three, if depending on how old they are and how well-nourished they've been as a young bear. Two is more common for a first litter. But after the first litter, three is the most common.
And when do they become sexually mature?
It all depends on early nutrition.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Bears can have cubs at 3 years old, which means that they're sexually mature at two, and they're breeding at two and having cubs the next spring. Most in Minnesota have their first litters at four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw one bear that never had her first cubs until she was 10.
Wow.
She was born late in the winter. She was the daughter of a bog bear, a bear that was small, you know, not very well, not particularly robust.
Mm-hmm.
We knew she was born late in the winter because her eyes were still closed when we first visited the den.
Wow.
In early March. At a year old, she weighed only, I think it was about 21 pounds.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. And that's really about the cutoff there, 20 pounds, whether they're going to survive the spring or not. And at 3 years old, she was only about 40 pounds. She happened to be born be young during the 1985 complete wild food failure.
Yeah.
So she got off to a really slow start.
But she persisted.
She persisted. And by 9 years old, she had finally reached about 90 pounds or 95 pounds, which is kind of the cutoff for at that point, you can maybe have cubs the next year. And she had cubs at 10.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I had a bear in my yard this spring or this summer, early summer, a young bear. I estimated its weight at maybe 150. And I put out some sunflower seeds for it to eat. And I was just amazed. You know, I thought it's going to come in there, it's going to lick up the whole pile and just gobble them down. It picked up, you know, some and ate them and then some more. And its lips were so amazing to watch. I'm 10 feet away from this bear, but I'm right by a door where I can duck in if I have to. And this bear is just so gently picking up these sunflower seeds. Is this characteristic? Are there...
if you figure you're going to... an animal that survives on ants and insects and berries and nuts, it's helpful to be able to efficiently pick all of those up without picking up too much of the surrounding materials that aren't all that nutritious and that waste their body energy trying to digest them or deal with them.
Sure,
so
I hadn't thought of that.
So, you know, just like we go out and we don't grab a whole stem full of blueberries, we pull the blueberries off if we can.
Yeah.
And their lips are really very, very adept at grabbing things.
Yeah.
And they use their tongues as well. your story made me remember that there was a period where we were doing some feeding trials looking at bears' preference for different foods and digestive rates and how quickly we would see the seeds of some foods pass through the bear. And we were feeding some mixtures of foods. And now I've gotten myself confused. But there was one mixture we gave them, and it was either, it either had, I think it was red elderberry that we had mixed in. But there was something about the cranberry as well, the highbush cranberry, in another mixture. But anyway, one of those mixtures, the bear very adeptly, you know, went right at the pail of food and just zip, 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 zip with its tongue and lips, went through the whole thing and picked out everything except the red elderberry or
the cranberry,
whichever it was.
That's hilarious. You know, I had a Labrador dog that we would feed table scraps, and whenever we'd have like Chinese, and there might be a chunk of ginger, ginger root.
Oh yeah, out it comes.
You'd scrape that into the bowl, and when the dog was done eating everything, there'd be that little piece of ginger root, nice and clean, been in the mouth, but not gonna eat that. Sorry.
Or the pills that you try to hide inside of pieces of squished bread or cheese, or
precisely
bacon fat or whatever.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Indeed. Karen, it's been a delight. I could talk to you for hours. there's nothing about bears that I don't want to know. It is such a fascinating animal. I thank you for coming in.
And my pleasure.
I hope you'll come back and visit us again and talk more about bears. This is really exciting. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.